case is appeal number 21-2171, Gudinas v. McDonough. Mr. Carpenter, you may proceed when you're ready.
May it please the Court, Count Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Gudinas. Mr. Gudinas' appeal rests upon this Court's precedential decisions in Bond and Barad. In both of those cases, this Court interpreted the provisions of the Secretary's regulation at 38 CFR 3.156B. And in Bond, this Court found that the Secretary had self-imposed a requirement in this regulation that at any time the Secretary receives during the identified periods in 3.156C new and material evidence that the Secretary would be required at that point to assess that evidence. There was no assessment in this case.
Do I remember that Bond differs and that the two claims there were for the same condition?
Bond does differ factually. And the question that arises based upon the decision that is on appeal from the Veterans Court is whether or not
it's
got me with 13 minutes.
Are you trying to make sure you get your rebuttal time? It's okay, it'll work. What'll happen is it'll go red.
Okay, that's fine. It just threw me off in the middle of my sentence there. Excuse me. What the Veterans Court did was to focus on what was the character or the label of the different claims in this case. Our argument is that Bond clearly states that there is an obligation to assess, and there was no assessment made. So even though the VA could use the argument that was made by the basis that was relied upon by the Veterans Court, that's inconsistent with this Court's interpretation of the Secretary's obligation under 3.156B. The 3.156B requires that there be an assessment. More importantly, this Court's case in Barad followed up and made crystal clear that a claim is pending and remains pending until such time as there is an assessment. There was no such assessment in this case.
Why isn't Manzanares dispositive of your appeal here?
Because Manzanares did not deal with the question of the obligation under 3.156B to make an assessment. The decision in Manzanares, and I was counsel in that case, did attempt to bring 3.156B into the overall analysis of 3.310 as to what constitutes a secondary claim and whether or not it is part and parcel of the underlying condition. However, in this case, we presented both to the board and later to the Veterans Court that the error made by the board was its failure to correctly apply 3.156B.
That was the nurse does talk about 3.156B.
It does, Your Honor.
Right. Next to last paragraph, I guess, of the opinion, and distinguishes Bond and Barreau on the ground, as I understand what the court was saying, that they dealt with the same condition as opposed to in that case, and in this case as well, secondary and primary claim conditions.
Right. And the difference in this case, factually, is, Your Honor, that Mr. Gudinas started this appeal pro se.
Right.
And he made a claim for sleep apnea in 2014.
Right.
That claim was denied, and a notice of disagreement was filed. That triggered the provisions of 3.156B, because after that he retained my services and we submitted an additional matter that dealt with whether or not Mr. Gudinas, was entitled to a TDIU rating, and we modified the sleep apnea claim from a direct claim to a secondary claim.
Right.
And that secondary claim, as a matter of fact, is still pending. There's been no resolution on that secondary claim.
Right.
But the assessment that's required under Bond is to determine whether or not when the Secretary received the TDIU application and received the modified theory of entitlement to compensation on a secondary basis for sleep apnea, Did either or both of those relate back to the claim that was filed for additional compensation? At the time in which Mr. Godinez made his application for sleep apnea service connection on a direct basis, he was already service connected for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
Therefore, he was already found entitled to compensation from the VA for a service-connected disability. By modifying his theory from direct service connection to secondary service connection, he was showing the VA that he was asking for additional compensation based upon the underlying condition of post-traumatic stress disorder. That it was the cause of, that resulted in his sleep apnea problem. As Judge Greenberg pointed out in the dissent, the real question here is the burden that the Veterans Court imposed upon a lay or pro se veteran to try to articulate what he was in fact asking for. And they did that by placing labels on a claim. A claim is simply a request for VA benefits. And in this case, the only VA benefits at issue were additional compensation. If he had been granted TDIU, then he would have gotten additional compensation. If he would have been granted service connection either on a direct or a secondary basis for sleep apnea, he would have gotten additional compensation. So the distinction that was talked about in Manzanares was relevant to that case. In this case, we have a completely different set of facts that deal with what is the same claim. There was never any change on the part of this veteran that he wanted additional compensation. And VA eventually awarded him a 100% scheduler rating
All that's in dispute here is the effective date.
Well, actually, not, Your Honor. The ultimate result could be an earlier effective date.
Right.
But it's important to understand that 3.156C is not an effective date regulation.
That's where, at the end of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is just the effective date, that a little over a year earlier. Right?
In terms of benefits, that's
right.
Correct, Your Honor.
Right.
That's correct. And the question is whether or not this court's case law in Bond and Broad require, as I believe they clearly do, a assessment, and that assessment must be made, and until the assessment is made, the underlying claim remains pending. It does not mean that the VA must agree with Mr. Godinez, I am so sorry. Mr. Godinez, in his assertion that they do relate back. If the VA were to have done its assessment, as they were required to do, then Mr. Godinez would have had the opportunity to appeal an adverse decision. But he never did, and what Barad says is that if 3.156C is not applied and the assessment is not made, then the claim remains pending. And that claim is the 2014 claim for sleep apnea.
So he's saying, in effect, that the submission of his claim for TDIU under the PTSD theory was new and material evidence of sleep apnea?
Well, no.
That's ultimately what he needs to show, right?
Well, we don't believe necessarily for the purpose of 3.156B, because the question is, would he be entitled to additional compensation for TDIU based upon a pending claim, a claim that was already pending for sleep apnea? So you can get You can get there two ways. You can either get there through the sleep apnea route, and then he changed it from direct to secondary, or you can get there through the TDIU route. If the TDIU evidence was new and material and related back to his claim for additional compensation made in 2014.
But doesn't it have to be new and material evidence of sleep apnea, not just new and material evidence with regard to the TDIU, the PTSD?
I think the appropriate response to that, Your Honor, is that is why the regulation was interpreted by this court to require an assessment. It is in that assessment that the VA determines whether what was received was or wasn't new and material evidence that related back to, in this case, the sleep apnea claim filed in 2014.
Okay, well, assume for the moment that we didn't have the secondary and primary relationships mm-hmm. between the claims. And instead, all you had was two very different claims, one for an ankle injury and another for headaches, let's say. Are you saying that as long as the claims overlap to the extent that one of the claims comes in during the one-year period for appeal from the first claim, that the RO always, and the board and the court, always have to ask, is that new and material evidence with respect to the first claim?
Yes, Your Honor.
Always.
Always.
No matter how seemingly unrelated the two claims may be.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Because of the way in which this court interpreted 3.156B in Bond, this court said that the secretary had made the choice by regulation to self-impose this obligation. Mm-hmm. And the analysis in Bond explains why the court determined that that was the correct interpretation of 3.156B. The slight distinction that I would make, Your Honor, in the way in which you described it, is to suggest that the question is about the assessment of what was received. And they must first determine whether it's new and material evidence. Because if it's not new and material evidence, then it can't relate back to. But if it was new and material evidence, and the courts describe what that is, evidence that hadn't been previously considered, and that it was relevant, did it relate back to the claim that this veteran pro se initiated all on his own a year earlier in August of 2014?
Okay. Is it possible Is it possible that the board made an assessment and actually discussed 3.156B? I at least see it on appendix page 132 a little bit.
That appendix
122?
132. Oh, 32. Get the right page.
And I'm focused on the second paragraph beginning with after a review of the record.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, where is that?
I'm focused on the paragraph beginning with after a review of.
Oh, I see it.
So I at least see some discussion and possible assessment with respect to 3.156B. I just want you to speak to that.
Okay. Let's begin with their opening sentence. It says, after review of the record, the board finds that an earlier effective date for service connection for PTSD is not warranted. That's not the assessment required under 3.156B. The assessment is, was the evidence received, and in this case, it was the new filing of the TDIU application and the modification of the basis for sleep apnea from direct to secondary, was that new and material evidence which related back? So the very first sentence doesn't qualify.
Okay, but let's go to the next sentence. Let's keep going.
I was just about to. The veteran then, the board then says, veteran claims that he's entitled to an effective date of May 2014 based upon 3.156C due to the submission of, that is precisely what we argued. That it goes through the contentions that were made, and then the board concludes, however, the claim filed on May 2014 was a claim for service connection for sleep apnea and did not mention the psychiatric claim to include an assessment. And that is not an assessment of whether it relates back to the claim. It is a declaratory statement that the claim filed was a claim for sleep apnea. Well, there's no dispute about that. And
just to correct the record, it says to include PTSD, not to include an assessment. I think you just misstated when you were reading there. I just wanted to make
sure. Oh, I'm sorry. To include PTSD. Yeah. Although that's a little bit deceiving, Your Honor, because there was no claim for PTSD. He was already service-connected for PTSD. He was seeking a higher rating than his scheduler rating of 50% to get a TDIU rating, which would have treated his 50% rating as though it were a total rating under the provisions of 4.16. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you. We will restore 4 minutes of your rebuttal time. Ms. Tantum?
Your Honor, may it please the Court, this Court's precedent in Manzanares controls in this appeal. The Veterans Court simply applied this well-established precedent, meaning that it did not interpret Section 3.156B as Mr. Godinez claims. If the Court believes that the Veterans Court did interpret 3.156B, it did so correctly. To find in Mr. Godinez's favor, the Court would have to either overrule Manzanares or completely ignore the facts of this case. In 2005, Mr. Godinez was granted service connection for PTSD with a 50% disability rating. VA increased this rating to 100% with an effective date of October 26, 2015, the date that he submitted that claim for the increase in compensation for PTSD. Before the Veterans Court, Mr. Godinez is seeking a year and a half of additional compensation by claiming the VA should have applied an earlier effective date, the May 30th, 2014 date of his separate claim for sleep apnea. That claim is found on appendix page 37 and describes the claimed disability as sleep apnea. In October 2015, Mr. Godinez asserted for the first time that his claim for service connection for sleep apnea was actually included a theory that it was secondary to the service-connected PTSD, and he sought increased compensation for that PTSD as well. The board did, as Your Honor noted, consider whether 3.156B was implicated. The Veterans Court found on page 16 of the appendix that the board had in essence considered whether 3.156B was triggered by considering whether the sleep apnea claim contained a claim for a PTSD rating increase. It found that it did not. And Mr. Godinez is reading out the word material from new and material evidence. For the evidence submitted, the Social Security earning record and TDIU form related to the inability to work due to PTSD and tinnitus, which is noted in those documents from October 2015, they are not material to the question of sleep apnea.
What about, I think that Mr. Godinez's argument would be, or Mr. Carpenter's argument would be, that it is not for us to decide whether it's new material, it is for the agency to decide. How do you respond to that?
Your Honor, that's correct. The question that Mr. Godinez appears to be raising is a claim that the Veterans Court interpreted 3.156B. We don't believe that the Veterans Court did so. It did not elaborate on the meaning of 3.156B. In fact, 3.310A is the question at issue. It's whether a primary and secondary claim in essence merge to provide a veteran with the effective date of a secondary claim filed before the primary claim in this case.
I think that his argument is that based on Bond, the VA has to look and see if that evidence is new and material evidence for all pending claims. Do you agree with that interpretation?
I believe that makes sense. However, in this case, that won't have an effect on the effective date.
No, let me make sure I understand your answer to that. You say you believe it makes sense?
Sorry.
You mean you agree with that?
Yes, to be clear,
the interpretation that Mr. Carpenter is giving to 156B?
Well, let me back up a little bit, make sure I understood Your Honor's question. If the material that had been provided in October 2015 had related to sleep apnea in some way, then there could be a consideration of whether it was new and material for the sleep apnea claim. In fact, the board did a consideration of whether the material was was new and material evidence with relating to the May 2014 claim. But it explained that the May 2014 claim was for sleep apnea. It wasn't for PTSD. What Mr. Godinez is doing is reading together the secondary and primary service connection to meld both claims into a single claim, and thus meaning that every claim must get the same effective date. This is the point of the argument about the regulatory definition of
claim. Can I make sure I understand your position? I think you're saying that you think that the board, in fact, did consider this, and I think you'd be referring to page A132.
That's right.
But you're saying that that doesn't mean that the earlier claim for sleep apnea is reopened such that an appeal could be taken. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I'm not entirely sure. The sleep apnea, and I understand Mr. Godinez's counsel just discussed the sleep apnea claim. The sleep apnea claim was the question of whether there's secondary service connection for sleep apnea has actually been pending before the board, and the board has this summer denied secondary service connection for sleep apnea, and Mr. Godinez has now appealed that to the Veterans Court, and that's not within the record before the court, having happened fairly recently. But the question of whether there was new and material evidence related to a sleep apnea claim, there simply was not, because the earnings and TDIU material was determined not to be related to the sleep apnea claim. The sleep apnea claim was not described as one for secondary service connection. It was not one for PTSD.
What, just a ministerial question. We have in the appendix at pages 37 through 39 the application dated May 27th and received May 30th of 2014. And we also have at pages 46 through 54 the application dated October 26, 2015. Is that the sum and substance of those two applications, or do we just have a portion of those two applications, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, this is the sum of the applications. So
right, there's no other material that was submitted on either of those days?
That is our understanding, okay. Your Honor, yes. I wanted to make sure I understood the question, though, about sleep apnea and PTSD. The two claims are not merged in some way. If there had been new and material evidence raised, that would be one question, but it was not raised.
Respond to opposing counsel's argument, like this claim stream argument? I think that's how he kind of phrases it. Can you just tell us your take on that? Do you agree that that somehow implicates 3.156B and could require an earlier effective date?
No, Your Honor, it does not. There is a... the issue is the condition raised in the claim. As Judge Bryson pointed out, the question of what is in a claim is not simply what benefit it's seeking. Mr. Godinez appears to meld every claim into a single claim because they all seek a benefit. But it has to be related to the condition. And the Veterans Court, as I noted, pointed out that the board had considered the question of conditions. Claim stream, the idea that just because you file a claim for sleep apnea, that you're starting a claim stream that must just bring into it every single subsequent claim for an increased rating in PTSD, material that you say supports that increased rating claim, that isn't a correct understanding of how the claim process works.
What about the language pending claim in 3.156B? Does that do any work there to your benefit?
Yes, I believe that there's the pending claim cannot, I think, be read in the way that Mr. Godinez is. The claim that's pending, it has to be the one for the condition here was sleep apnea. That was a claim that was pending.
it didn't somehow become a claim for PTSD or even a claim for a secondary connection from sleep apnea to PTSD simply because Mr. Gudinus now argues that. And Mr. Gudinus calls it, refers, I believe when he uses the term label, he is referring to the condition that is being discussed, the condition that Mr. Gudinus claimed he had. To read out the condition would be an extremely odd way of reading 3.156B. In addition, the regulatory definition of claim, simply because it refers to the word, it contains the word benefit, cannot be interpreted to mean that it need not be interpreted in terms of what condition is being asserted. As we've noted, Mr. Gudinus didn't raise this argument before the Veterans Court, and therefore waived it. there is the question of the alleged failure to sympathetically read his 2014 claim and maximize his benefits, again, not made below. This sympathetic reading is something that the court doesn't have jurisdiction to consider. It can't mean that VA has to read a claim to interpret it to relate to conditions that aren't even mentioned in it. In any event, the Veterans Court assumed that this May 2014 claim was for secondary service connection to PTSD. And that's apparently what Mr. Gudinus thinks the VA should have done. However, even giving him that reading, giving him the benefit of the doubt, the Veterans Court pointed directly to the fatal flaw that underlies all of his arguments, which is that a claim for primary condition, one for secondary, simply do not get the same effective date. And that is what the court found in Manzanares.
If the October 2015 claim had new evidence that was specific to sleep apnea, do you then contend that 3.156B would mean the board needed to look at that new evidence?
If it had, I believe that it was within the appeal period. An appeal was ongoing of the sleep apnea claims denial. So if it had been directly about sleep apnea, I believe that it would have been something that could have been considered new and material evidence. But in this case, being within that appeal period, which I'm assuming is the case. But in this case, when the board looked at the question there, was PTSD, was the characterization of this claim PTSD, did that mean that new and material evidence was related to the May 2014 claim? The May 2014 claim plainly was not one for PTSD, and that's what matters for the purpose of an effective date, which is all that's sought here, is an increase in the effective date, or May 2014 versus October 2015. And we'd also just like to note that, as we've said, there was no interpretation by the Veterans Court of 3.156B, so we don't believe that the court has jurisdiction to entertain Mr. Gudinus' arguments, certainly not his argument that VA did not maximize his benefits under 3.103A, certainly not the question of whether VA sympathetically read his claim, which is a question of application of law to fact, certainly not whether the effective date is correct. And certainly the claim rests on, or these arguments here rest on factual assertions about what constitutes new and material evidence, which the court doesn't have jurisdiction to review, and also what the claim means. Like, does the claim...
Yes, but his argument about the interpretation of 3.156B is, as I understand it, is that any time there are two claims pending, the board has to, the RO and the board, and so forth, have to look at the question of whether there's new and material evidence. That's an interpretation, it seems to me, of 1.56B. You may disagree with that. In fact, you clearly do disagree with that interpretation. But isn't that an interpretation of 1.56B?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that if there was no need for the Veterans Court to make an interpretation since it was applying.
Didn't it effectively make an interpretation by rejecting the argument that he was making as to the scope of 156B? If that's so, then why isn't this within our jurisdiction as a question as to the scope of 156B?
Well, Your Honor, mainly because the well-established law was simply being applied by the Veterans Court. The question, oh, and I'm going to run out of time.
So you're saying that if the Veterans Court has said it before, it can say it again, and we don't have jurisdiction the second time around, even though we might have had the first jurisdiction the first time around? Sure, but not. Well-settled law. That can't be correct, right?
Well-settled by this court.
But even so, I mean, maybe he wants to go in bank. I mean, we don't lack jurisdiction to address a question simply because we have addressed it before. And arguably addressed it in Manzanares, but maybe not. Isn't that sufficient issue to grant us jurisdiction?
Well, we believe that at some point the court's case law is well established on the question of primary and secondary claims and effective dates, that at that point there need not be an appeal every time the Veterans Court applies that well established
law. And so we don't have the power to correct an error that we may have made before.
You're correct, Your Honor. I would not say that.
You wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that that the court lacks the ability to correct a mistake previously made.
But you don't have jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just what you're saying? If the law is well established enough, i.e., we've said it two or three times, but the fourth time we have no jurisdiction to address the question.
Well, Mr. Goodenough has not brought an appeal for en banc review of Manzanares. But thank you very much, Your Honor.
Mr. Carpenter, you have 4 minutes of rebuttal time.
And please, the court. The government referred this court to the Veterans Court's decision, in which I believe I wrote it down correctly. The Veterans Court said that the board had, in essence, considered the new and material evidence. I believe this court made clear in both Bond and Barad that an in essence consideration by the VA doesn't meet the requirements of the assessment. The holding in Bond says that the assessment must be explicit, not implicit. And therefore, the Veterans Court did make an interpretation of 3.156B by concluding in its decision that it was sufficient for the board to have, in essence, considered whether the new and material evidence related back.
Where's the in essence part? I might have just missed
I'm sorry. I was just responding to the quote. I think I can find it.
Because I was looking at appendix page 16 based on the government's argument. I'm just wanting to make sure I'm following where you're getting this in essence.
Sorry, Your Honor. I did not look to see exactly where it was from. I assume that the government was correctly.
You might be thinking of page A16. It is the second paragraph towards the line 3. The board essentially considered, is that what you're
Yes,
saying?
That's it. And it says, thus, although the board did not address whether the October 2015 submissions were new and material evidence related to the May 2014 claim, a review of the board's analysis reflects that the board essentially considered, instead of in essence, whether Section 3.156B was triggered when it determined the nature of the claim. And therein lies the problem. We are dealing here with what is supposed to be a pro-veteran system that is to be sympathetically reading the submissions that are made by a pro se veteran. In this case, as distinguished from Manzanares, we are dealing with what started as a direct claim and was, with the assistance of counsel, altered to a secondary claim during the course of and has continued to be considered as a secondary claim. Now, Mr. Dynas was entitled to consideration under 3.156B as interpreted by this court. I honestly don't believe there's anything else that I have to offer unless there's any further questions from the panel. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The case is submitted under the briefs. Thank you for your argument.